All right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Masters of Credit, an APS Portfolio Strategy Call. I'm Steve Abrahams. I'm head of investment strategy here at Amherst Pierpont. Today, I've got the good fortune to have a great guest with us, Joe Rotondo. He's a senior manager on the credit investment team for MidOcean Partners. He joined MidOcean last year after a pretty impressive 20-year run at Invesco, where he was senior portfolio manager for the global senior loan group, and he was a member of the firm's investment committee. And as we've done on all of these chats with some of Joe's peers at other firms, it's a great opportunity for us to sit down and talk about where we are in the leveraged loan and CLO market these days. So we can turn right to the topic. Joe, we were chatting just briefly a few minutes ago about a pretty impressive start to the leveraged loan market this year, and you had some interesting thoughts on why things are off on such a strong footing.
Yes, and first, thank you for having me. I appreciate that. You know, loans have definitely caught a bid this month, and I think there's a couple of reasons why. Number one is within the loan market, there is a standard January effect where at the end of the quarter, the end of the fiscal year, there are a number of pay downs that take place, either scheduled or unscheduled. And then, and especially for CLO managers, we see those come through, and then there's an effort to reinvest those proceeds into bank loans. So that's something that, I have found happens almost every January. So that was one factor that influenced the amount of demand that we're currently seeing for loans. And then another factor is that earlier this month, inflation data came out. It was better, more favorable than expected. So now the market is expecting a less aggressive stance by the Fed, and that led to or contributed to the stronger bid that we're seeing in bank loans right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I was looking at levered loans and a bunch of other asset classes just to start the year. Mm-hmm. So this, if it's a January effect, then it's a broad one because high yield, IG, mm-hmm. MBS, mm-hmm. a lot of risk assets are getting a pretty significant bid. And I'd agree with you. In fact, ever since we got good inflation readings towards the beginning of last quarter, mm-hmm. there's been a better tone in the risk markets, and it seems like we've just, turned that up a notch.
Yes. Yeah, and now actually we're starting to see better demand for CLO liabilities from AAAs all the way down to BBs. So that's, definitely encouraging in terms of new issuance within the CLO market.
So I was hoping we could, this is a good start so far this year, but, last year obviously was a pretty wild ride. Mm-hmm. I would say across different parts of fixed income, and certainly, levered loans and CLOs have plenty of company. It was a very rough year for mm-hmm. performance. And I'm just wondering, you've spent so much time in the loan and the CLO markets. What were the things that you think you learned just from the experience of last year?
Yeah. So, 2022 was, definitely a volatile year. And, we saw investment grade trade down or return minus 15%. We saw equities sell off. The loan market actually broke even for the year, which I think was an encouraging statistic for the asset class. But I think there were a few things that were quite interesting in 2022. And the way I view it is that whenever we have a period of volatility, there's also a period of opportunity. So in terms of the opportunities that we saw, we looked at investment grade bonds, and we saw a lot of IG trading in the high 70s or low 80s. And we felt that, that represented a very attractive opportunity to the extent that CLOs have bond baskets and can invest in fixed income securities. So that was one. And then number two is we took a look at some of the loan assets that had traded off in the secondary market into the low 80s and into the 70s. And, you know, some of those loans, I think, will continue to trade down. But some of them, you know, once you do a deep dive into the credit fundamentals, you'll realize that, you know, look, this is a name that is oversold because of, you know, maybe some short-term fundamental reasons or because it's in an out-of-favor industry. But some of those names that did trade down represented very attractive buy opportunities. So I think, you know, the sell-off did present an opportunity to take advantage of certain lower dollar price assets. And then one thing that was, that I found very interesting is we, you know, one theme within the loan market is hedging of interest rates because loans are floating in nature and rates are going up. So one big focus item for 2022 was the impact that higher rates would have on free cash flow. And as part of that analysis, managers looked into the hedging, interest rate hedging strategy of portfolio of borrowers within the portfolio. And one thing that we uncovered that I thought was very interesting is that you would expect that the main driver of the decision to hedge would be what the capital structure looks like. Is it, does it consist of bonds and bank loans where, you know, the bonds are already fixed and not vulnerable to higher rates? Or are you looking at a loan-only structure where it's only loans that are floating? And you would think that borrowers would be more inclined to hedge those loan-only structures. And that's partly true, but what we found is that some private equity sponsors, they just don't hedge. So it doesn't matter if they have a bank loan bond structure or loans only. What we found is that some PE shops, you know, do not hedge their floating rate debt, which I thought was an interesting takeaway from the analysis.
That sounds like it would be a little surprising, I would assume, right?
Because we were a little bit surprised. But another thing that we took a look at is how, like, what are borrowers doing to combat higher interest rates? And what we found is that some borrowers are cutting back. I mean, these aren't surprising, but some are cutting back on CapEx. Some are tapping the brakes on M&A. Some are reducing the number of employees in middle management. So different companies are addressing the issue of higher rates by employing different strategies.
So they're combating higher interest expense by trying to reduce expenses somewhere else on the balance sheet.
Right, expenses or capital expenditures or M&A.
I mean, this topic has come up in some earlier conversations. Do you have a rough sense if I looked at a portfolio of loans, what percentage of those loans do you think would have some kind of hedge on it?
Yeah, it's roughly like 30 to 40% of the market.
That's probably a little higher than I would have expected.
Right, but also the borrowers may not hedge 100% of their floating rate debt. It could be a portion of the floating rate debt that they hedge.
Got it. So 30-40% could have hedges, but since it's only a partial hedge, the effective
it'll be lower.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, let me kind of swing into maybe a related topic because I think everybody's aware of both the interest rate risk that's sitting out there in leveraged loans, the possibility that the Fed's going to push rates up, you know, above 5% on the index. So cost of funds has probably got a little bit more momentum to it. Mm-hmm. And then the goal of the Fed is to slow economic growth. So top line revenues presumably are going to drop as well. So here you have a levered balance sheet, rising interest expense, falling gross revenues. And in the levered loan market and even in the CLO market, a lot of those balance sheets are B minus. So it raises the issue of how guys in your chair are going to trade the B minus loan book this year. How do you manage around those challenges?
Yeah, it's a great question. And to put it into context, so the B minus portion of the loan market has been a key topic. Especially in the second half of last year. And at this point in time, about 30% of the loan market has a B-minus issuer rating. And from a historical standpoint, that's on the high end.
Yeah.
So 30%, number one. And then number two, the reason why this is so important is because the next step down from B minus is triple C. So once CLOs have more than 7.5% exposure to triple Cs, then the CLO vehicle has to take a haircut on those triple Cs, and that has negative consequences. So anyway, to your point, like managing that portion of the portfolio is very important. And on one hand, managers don't want to, you know, start selling a whole bunch of B minus loans and take losses on those trades because that's not beneficial to the long-term performance of the CLO. So I think the key factor here is to, you know, number one, basically be ahead of that trend and to have reduced B minus exposure in advance of those names selling off. So a lot of B minuses have already, you know, traded down in anticipation of downgrades to triple C. Does it make sense to reduce exposure to B minuses now? You know, depending on what B minuses you have in the portfolio, it could make sense. But I think another important factor is to really do a deep dive into those B minuses and really understand the probability of downgrade, because all of them, you know, certainly will not be downgraded.
Yeah.
So it's important to really analyze that portion of the portfolio and to be, you know, ahead of the curve and to manage in a prudent manner.
So when we were chatting a couple of weeks ago, just, given price performance in almost a different market in December compared to where we are now, you talked a little bit about how the market had already kind of gone out there and picked the credits it thought were going to be downgraded, at least based on price. And in some instances, it was almost too late to be able to get out of the names that are on a bad path.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought you had an interesting observation about the kind of credits you could identify that still would be good B minuses to hold. I think you call them bend, don't break.
Right. So, you know, bend, don't break is a key theme in terms of our portfolio management strategy. And to your point, there are some, B minus names that are trading, let's say in the, you know, or were in December trading in the high 70s or low 80s. They've moved up since then. But those could represent very attractive values. And on some of these, although they're rated B minus and they were trading at low levels, based on our analysis and our research, we felt that the probability of downgrade to triple C was relatively low. But you know, one key thing for us is to identify in the market those bend don't break types of loans. And those are loans that could be facing some degree of fundamental pressure today, but over the long term, we believe that they have the capital structure, the liquidity, the industry position, and the management team to basically make it through a potential economic downturn and, you know, generate strong performance over the long term.
Got it. Are there any kind of general areas that you could wave your hand at and say, well, there's more bend, don't break in this area than in that area?
In terms of sectors?
Sure.
Yeah, well, one thing that we did look at was European exposure. Mm-hmm. And I think, and this was mid 2022 and into the fall, where there was a lot of concern about rising raw material prices, higher energy costs, et cetera. So we identified some names that had that type of exposure that we felt were sufficiently well capitalized to, you know, make it through that cycle. And then actually there were some other names that have some exposure to housing into that entire sector that we think will survive and perform well over the long term. So anyway, there are bend don't break in every, you know, just about every single industry, but those are a couple of examples.
Okay, interesting. Can we swing from loans to CLOs?
Sure.
Okay, so again, tough year for issuance last year, and a lot of that had to do with managers that found themselves hanging around the warehouse a lot longer than they expected. So I'm kind of interested on your read on that. What did managers or the market learn about that? Maybe this was all old hat and just history repeating itself, but I'm curious about your read on that.
Yeah, well, I think the interesting thing is a warehouse could be a great asset, but it could shift from being a significant asset to a significant liability. And that's really what we saw in 2020, especially in the second half of last year, where managers went out, aggressively ramped portfolios, the market turned, and then there was really no way to securitize the warehouse. And the risk with warehousing is that as you go through each earnings season, you take on more and more risk because there's a greater probability that a company will miss earnings and it trades down, it gets downgraded, and then you're suffering these market value losses. And then it makes it much more difficult to get a new CLO done and securitize the warehouse and move on. So I think a lot of those warehouses were converted into CLOs in the fourth quarter of last year. But I still think that, well, there are definitely warehouses that remain outstanding that have to, older warehouses that still need to get securitized. But I think some good news is what I mentioned before, which is that the CLO market is starting to really, liabilities are really starting to tighten in rather significantly. So that really helps the cash flow arbitrage of these CLOs.
Got it. There were a couple of really interesting things that we heard about, at least around resolving the warehouses. In some cases, it seemed like dealers were taking down big parts of the capital structure in order to get the deal out of the warehouse. In some cases, smaller managers were actually getting combined with larger managers in order to, again, get the smaller manager out of the warehouse. And I guess I was really intrigued by the level of creativity in some of that stuff.
Yeah, I think the market was relatively creative during 2022. And something else that we saw were situations where a manager had, you know, a larger warehouse that was out of the money, and rolling that entire warehouse into a CLO just would not work. So what the manager did is split the warehouse into two. So instead of having, you know, instead of putting $100 million of out-of-the-money assets into a new CLO, the manager would put half of that amount into a new CLO and then ramp the balance into the secondary market. And that helped to make that CLO more attractive and more would increase the receptivity of that CLO into the market, and then also would solve part of the problem of offloading a portion of the warehouse and getting it securitized.
So a little more, we need a little bit more creativity. We'll finally clean up the warehouse problem, at least.
I think over time we'll clean it up.
And then, so let's assume we get past whatever remaining warehouse overhang. Are there specific opportunities, specific outlook you've got for where the CLO market's going to be heading this year? Are we going to be back to traditional 5-non-call 2? You know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, in the market right now, we're seeing 5-2s.
Yeah.
Last year, we saw, especially in the fourth quarter, more 4-2s, four-year reinvestment period, two-year non-calls. We also saw 3-year reinvestment period and 1-year non-calls, and now we're starting to see a comeback of the 5-2, and I think some of that is driven by tighter liability spreads. But you know, one thing that we've observed over the years and decades is that, you know, the CLO, the concept of the CLO has performed well over the long term and has survived a number of ups and downs over the past several years.
Well, so I know one thing that I thought was very interesting last year, a lot of the CLOs that ended up stuck in warehouses just lacked a good AAA bid to kind of get things started. And it highlighted how concentrated the AAA bid often can be. And I find that personally, since I've spent some time in other asset classes, curious about what the CLO market may need to do in order to diversify AAA investment.
Yeah, it's a great point. And we've seen situations where, you know, many, many institutional investors are buying AAAs at the same time. Like U.S. accounts, European accounts, Asian accounts, all buyers at the same time, and that leads to a very robust and orderly market. And then what we saw last year is the vast majority, almost all large money center banks exit CLO AAAs. And that really contributed to very wide AAA spreads that we saw, especially in the fourth quarter of last year. And a lot of that was driven by higher reserves for CLO AAAs. So I think overall, there's over the years, many new investors have come into the AAA space, but there are situations and times at which the CLO buyer base is very thin, but now we're starting to see it widen out again, and that's one of the key reasons. Actually, that's one key reason why we're seeing AAA spreads tighten in. And then the other reason is that especially in the fourth quarter of last year, my view is that AAA investors were overcompensated for the risk, and you're looking at between 90-day SOFR and the credit and the spread, almost 700 basis points all in for AAA risk. So accounts are really catching on to this opportunity, and I think that's a good thing and a driver of the fact that we're seeing more demand for AAA paper at this point in time.
You think we're going to see a more diversified AAA base? I mean, partly drawn by those kinds of risk premiums.
Yeah, I think going forward into 2023, I think we're going to see many more accounts come in. And what we're hearing is that not only accounts that had participated in 2021 now starting to participate this year, but we're also hearing about new regions opening up to the CLO AAA idea, which is very encouraging.
Okay, well, that would be definitely
yes.
Good for the business. So, speaking of the business, could we talk a little bit about, at some level, the pivot that you've made building a CLO business? I mean, you arrived at Mid-Ocean after 24 years at Invesco, so clearly your new partners are thinking about how to take the Mid-Ocean platform and build it. And I'm just curious about how you look at the CLO market. And presumably, you're thinking about how platforms need to position themselves to grow. So how are you guys thinking about that? Where's the spot
right.
in the market where investors need new
ventures? Yeah, what I have observed over the past several years is that, the market does want new managers in order to help diversify their own portfolio of CLO notes. So there's definitely, a place for new managers and emerging managers without a doubt. I would say that there are, a couple of critical factors for new managers. And we're not a new manager because we already have a CLO platform in place, but we're bringing a different style, a different investment philosophy to the table. But I think one key underlying factor is performance and ensuring doing the work, doing the fundamental credit research, doing a deep dive on the credit docs, and ensuring that you're selecting the right assets for the portfolio. My personal preference is to make sure that the portfolios are highly diversified, where you're mitigating single name credit risk. And then also I like to position the portfolios on the larger end of the broadly syndicated bank loan market, because those borrowers are typically have greater staying power. They typically are better capitalized with both bank loans and bonds in the structure. And then also those borrowers typically benefit from greater secondary market liquidity, which enables us to be more nimble in terms of buying and selling and repositioning our portfolios. So I think that's one key factor. And then the other key factor is, simply communicating with investors and, letting them know what our strategy is, if there are, changes to portfolio positioning, and, simply getting in front of investors and communicating. So that's another important factor when it comes to, any new manager.
So it's interesting because in our discussions with investors, we obviously run across mm-hmm. a lot that come up with an approved list, mm-hmm. Often on the approved list, very common set of names. They tend mm-hmm. to be the largest and the most frequent issuers. But presumably, you know, you're optimistic that there is a set of debt investors mm-hmm. out there that want a manager of, you know, your size or comparable size, that there's somehow a set of debt investors that mm-hmm. that are excited about the possibility of new and different mm-hmm. platforms.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. And I think what a lot of, I mean, debt investors will look for, you know, the performance element, which, you know, every investor looks for. And then also what they want to see on a go-forward basis is secondary market liquidity, and the investors want to feel comfortable with the ability to trade the CLO notes of a particular manager in the secondary market, and they want to feel comfortable with the ability to get a bid if they're looking to sell. So that's another key factor, and I think one thing that ties into that is, you know, the communication with investors and telling the story to the investor base.
And presumably sharing views on where the market is, where the market's
right.
going.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And helping them understand mm-hmm. What the underlying risk is.
Exactly.
Okay. Listen, we've covered a lot of territory, the loan market, the CLO market, mm-hmm. the business of managing CLOs. And I think we're probably at the end of our mm-hmm. our 30 minutes or so. So I guess I want to thank all of our listeners that dialed in today. You know, we are privileged to be able to have guests like Joe show up and share his thoughts with us about these parts of the market where we might not have visibility, but it makes us all better informed along the way. So, Joe, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Appreciate your time today. And thanks to our listeners for dialing in. We are going to post a replay of today's session on the APS Portfolio Strategy website tomorrow. We will distribute a notice when that happens. But that wraps it up for today. Have a good day and good luck in the markets.